Today's an interesting day. Mother's Day is always a little different because lots of your congregation are going to churches or they're traveling to go visit their mom, or sometimes there's folks that are coming here that aren't wouldn't usually come to our church, or maybe sometimes there's folks that don't believe in God but they're trying to honor their parents by even being in church today, even though they may be in their heart they don't believe in God. And so it's an interesting group usually as to what the room is looking like in regards to Mother's Day. Another part of Mother's Day that is different is sometimes Mother's Day is a very, very difficult day for lots of folks because someone has maybe lost a mother recently or has lost a mother years back, but it still is painful because as you think of Mother's Day, it hurts. Sometimes there's mothers or people who would want to be mothers, but because of whatever reason, they couldn't have children, and it becomes a complicated part of the day. Also, sometimes there are parents who have lost a loved one, and today is a difficult day for them, or a child, because of knowing what this means in Mother's Day, losing someone that you love dearly. And so I want to acknowledge that at the very beginning, before I say anything, that this is a difficult day for lots of folks, just like as it is a very happy day for folks as well. So it's one of those days that there's all sorts of emotion going on. And so when I was thinking about what to preach on, something that God has been kind of rattling in my heart for a couple weeks has been something along the lines, and I put it in my sermon notes, something along the lines of essentially living well in the moment, or maybe I really didn't want to cover this totally, but making the best use of time or using the time that we have been given wisely, just something along the lines of that. And I didn't know exactly what God meant. I don't think this sermon is even touching on where God is really fully wanting me to communicate. And so I'm letting God kind of work that out. But where I felt the Lord lead me, and I said this in the very beginning, sometimes when we talk about the term stewardship, everyone thinks of the word stewardship and they think money. Well, the pastor's going to start talking about money. Well, I'll tell you what I'm not going to talk about on Mother's Day. I'm not going to talk about money. But stewardship is a much broader category than just that, because the time that God has given you is stewardship. God has given you a great gift in life on this earth, and he's asked you to be wise with your time and to use your time wisely that he's given you. It's a gift of God. We just sang the song where we say, God, the breath you've given me. Why do we say, God, I'm going to praise you with the breath you've given me? Because we recognize if that breath goes away, we're not living. God's given you. Everyone in here is sustained currently right now because of God. And we're able to breathe because of God. So we worship God because we can't even breathe the essentials of life without God giving it to us. And so stewardship, when we think of money, but stewardship is also time. And there's other elements of stewardship. And God has given all of us time. And so when I was just kind of saying, like, what is it that, Lord, you wanted me to speak on? I felt God kind of touching my heart about this, that anxiety. We talked about last week anxiety. We specifically looked at Matthew 6:34 as one of the passages, and we looked at it more in its practical application, that God says you can't handle tomorrow, so focus on today because it's too overwhelming to focus on tomorrow or next month or a year, and nobody can handle all the problems at once, so just focus on today. It's got enough challenges of today. That's the context of that passage. But one of the things as I was thinking about it was a practical application to that is not worrying about tomorrow's problems so that we can better enjoy, be satisfied in, focus better on, and live more wisely in our everyday moments that we are living in now. A practical application is not just don't worry because you don't want to have anxiety. There's too much anxiety today, so don't focus. A practical application is too, like, enjoy today, right? If you are an anxious person, there's all these things that are worrying and you're always in that place, you're never going to enjoy the blessings in front of you. And the thing is as you look at life, life is a up and down, horrific, great, you know, great, satisfying. Life is a roller coaster. It's everywhere. And what happens oftentimes is we can get stuck in a place that we're always negative, or we only dwell on the negative, or the negative can bring you to the point that there is no satisfaction in life, even if there are good and there are some blessings. And so what I want to say about today in regards to stewardship of time, I don't want to cover the whole category. I'm not trying to do a big theology here on let's talk about stewardship of time and making best use of your day. I just want to focus on one practical aspect. And I felt the Lord lead me to Mary. There's no person better in all of the Bible. And since it's Mother's Day, Mary, right? One of the greatest mothers ever, if not the greatest mother. But I tell you, there's nobody that has more emotional roller coasters than Mary. Right? Look at all of her life, all the things she goes through in the Bible, through her story. It is up, down, up, down. In the very beginning, it's this great joy. Then all of a sudden, it's like, and he's going to die. I mean, like, right away. So there's nobody that can understand the roller coaster of a life that God might give them better than Mary. And many of us in this room, we are in the midst of roller coaster. If you're not, you're going to. That's life. And so what I want to say, if I communicate one thing, and I may not communicate this well, but I'm going to try to communicate it in the beginning, and you'll be like, well, I'm going to preach it. I'm just going to say the same thing at the very end. We want to live in such a way that we enjoy the moments too, even in the tragedy, even if there's horrific things that our soul in some ways have been ripped out. You'll see that for Mary. Even if your soul's been ripped out or something really tragic has happened, what the Bible teaches is there's an ability through faith and through walking with God that you can still walk and enjoy gifts that God has given you, the blessings that God has given you in the midst of the roller coaster and even the bad. Does that make sense? So this Mother's Day, I don't know if this is the most Mother's Day sermon, but we're focusing on Mary, so I feel like that's a Mother's Day term. And guys are like, I don't want to listen to this. We're going to talk about Mary. No, Mary's awesome. You should listen because this applies to you. This isn't mothers. This isn't just children. This is every human experience, roller coaster, up, down, up, down. And I just want to show you some things that Mary says that have stuck with me as I was thinking about this. The Lord led me to specific statements that Mary says. And so a couple things. I will say this to you. You will probably need your Bible. The screen up here will have it. If you just turn to Luke 2, the majority of the massive text I'm going to be reading will come from Luke chapter 2. And there are Bibles in front of you. ESV, which is what I read from, you can read with that with me with that. And I have all my text printed out so that I don't have to flip. So I will put this here and come back when I need, if I need. I have it all here. But I don't have time for 2 pages to fill up all this scripture in here. But I do want to read on some of the passages. I wanted to read the context. And some of the passages I say, go read the context on your own or we'd be here all day. But I want to read the chunk of text. I want to talk about a verse as we go through this. So the first, we're going to cover some of the positive things. And if you're like, well, you missed something, I'm going to jump around a little bit and come back to some things later on purpose. But here's some of the positives. So let's look at some of Mary's great positive things that took place for her. So we look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to take a look at verses 8 through 21. And we're going to look at the context of 8 through 21. And I already have it in your notes, but verse 19 is what we're after. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So here's the context of that verse. Verse 8 says this, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. All right, context, shepherds. Here comes an angel, glory, something I've never seen before. And he starts talking to them. They're scared. That's what's happening. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Right? So he speaks to them. There's something great that has happened. And the heavenly host can't help but say, it's great. It's amazing. It's in fact, it's the greatest joy for all people. And he says that to them. And so what we see is verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Verse 12. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Verse 13. And this is one not to miss. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So before we come back to verse 15, what just happened? There's shepherds. These shepherds, Mary and Joseph, they don't know him, right? The baby, they just know God shows up and the angel shows up to these men who have been clearly looking in the skies and they've been wanting to know when the Savior's going to come. And he shows up and says, listen, he's here, right? The greatest thing that's ever happened. It's here and you need to go. And they end up going, but don't miss it. They saw this. It's not just one angel in glory. That wasn't enough for the heavenly host. There ends up being multitudes. Angels just appear out of everywhere. They're just, whoa, right? Worshiping more than any of us in this room. And they're going crazy. And that is what happens. Now, I'm saying that to you because, listen, these shepherds are going to go to, with that story, is what they're going to take to the parents. And they're going to say, I just want to tell you what happened. They didn't see it. But let me tell you what I saw. It was crazy. Whoa, this is what they said. Does that make sense? So that is what's happened. That's the scene that's going on here. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem. Yeah, I think we should go. Like, that may be the sign. It's time to go listen to let's go see this and to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. All right, so clearly they're going to tell them. But Mary, more than anybody, it's not just tell me the gossip or tell me the story. Tell me, do I believe this happened? Didn't I believe this happened? The author of Luke is saying this moment was significant for Mary because as the author Luke continues, things get worse. Other bad things happen. But right here in this moment, what did Mary do? But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. What does pondering mean? This moment, this miracle, this incredible thing that took place, it wasn't a one-time event. It wasn't just an experience. This is a good event. This is something that was pondered throughout Mary's lifetime that this happened. Amen? Like, this happened. And no matter what goes on in life, that story still happened. And it still builds faith. It's still something that is treasured. Does that make sense? So it goes on, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Which I will revisit that passage at the very end. So here we go. There's not much for me to say other than, do you see that? This amazing, incredible event. So we got Mary currently on the an awesome high, right? Wow, like this happened. It's not enough that a virgin gave birth to God, right? That's not enough. God's not leaving it there. God's going to bring these random shepherds out of everyone and say, just so you know, you weren't even there, but angels are appearing everywhere and crying out how amazing this is. Just so you know, like that boy to confirm, to help you know, very special. Something that's happened is very special. Amen? So, acknowledge that, and I say Mary treasured these things up, and we're going to keep going. Verse 2 of 33, we're going to look at the context of chapter 2, verses 21 through 33. So right where we just left off, we're going to start reading. And this statement says, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And his father and mother marveled about what was said about him. So chapter 2, verse 33, picking up on the context again, here we go. Verse 22, and when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So I want to pause there for a second. I know this is a random guy, but because they were faithful and they did go to the temple, there's a high chance that they knew this guy, that he was known. I mean, he's not called a righteous and devout man for no reason. He was known. He was renowned. This guy means something, and people knew this man has been told, which is going to say this in the next verse. Here he goes. Now there was a man, in Jerusalem, verse, where are we at? 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he knows. People know he's a devout, he's a righteous man. This is a godly man, and he has told everybody that God told me, the Holy Spirit told me, I will not depart till I see the king coming from Israel, the Savior for all of mankind. Now, he may have been seen as lunatic to some folks, but the Holy Spirit, God told him, and this man was a devout man that came up and prayed. He knew he would not leave till that day happened. So, he's thinking about this. People know about this, and here they come, coming to do what they're supposed to do, and he just walks in, led by the Spirit, verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the young child to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now that you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So here we got another event. So we have this angelic host, these shepherds come. Now we have this righteous, devout man that they likely knew or heard of, and men in the community knew. This is a good man. It's not saying this is some crackpot. This is some good man. He's righteous, devout. Everyone believed in him. And here you have, he comes in, and this is what I've been talking about. Your son, he's the one, and I can now die. Like, what kind of statement is that? Like, God told me that this kid's coming, and when I see him, I can now die. It's over. Life's over. Thanks, God. Anytime now. I don't know what that scene's like, but how incredible would that be? How many of you, if you just real quick, like, I'm going to keep reading big chunks of text, but I want to build up till we get to the negative. But what I want you to, how many of us love when someone says something about your son or your daughter? I mean, there's nothing greater than when people come and look at my son and like, oh, he is so cute. Look at his smile. Like, you love it, right? And I'm at the baby stage. And some of you are like, parents, your kids are so smart. They're so well behaved. When you're not around, they say, yes, sir, right? Like, that makes us go like, yeah, yeah, that's my boy. Or even if they play basketball or football. I mean, some parents are crazy and they're like, you know, fight over stuff. But some of you, you see it and they are succeeding and you're just, oh, man, great cheerleaders, right? Now, I'm just saying, in comparison, that stuff's great. But what Mary and Joseph are hearing is the greatest child to ever be born, Savior of mankind, righteous people are coming in the community saying, listen, I can die now. And, right? I mean, this, it's crazy stuff that's happening. Oh, I mean, and that's why it says they marveled, they treasured up these things, she pondered them for years, for the rest of their life. How many of you ponder and treasure up and marvel at the things people have said that have encouraged you about your kids, right? Or things that they've said that you were so proud of. We've had those moments. So what I want to say is this is, I'm just trying to paint the picture. This is a significant kind of things that are happening. And I think they needed those things. She needed those things because there's other things that are going to come. So let's go on to the next one. I know I'm reading a lot of text, tackling too much. Welcome to my life. All right. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to jump some on purpose. Look at Luke 2, verses 41 through 52. And this will be the last, actually not the last, but mostly the last positive thing I'll say. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. We see this. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposed him to be with the group. They went a day's journey, a whole day's journey. I laugh at that all the time. A whole day's journey before they realized. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to them, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? That's on purpose. My father, but this is my father. This house is my father, is what he's saying in a respectful way. But didn't you know this is what I should be doing? And he goes on, and they did not understand totally what he was saying, of course. And when he spoke to them about it, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart, becoming a theme. Do you see that? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So we have a really, really young Jesus. We have the image of a really young Jesus. I don't know. Is there a 12-year-old in here? Anybody 12? Stand up. Come here. Come. We're family friends. Come on, bud. Well, wait. I'm short, so let's okay. As if it was a normal man standing. That's probably what it would look like, right?
Yeah.
All right. We're not going to talk about everything. Go ahead. You're down. That's wrong. Little young man coming around all these religious folks. Clearly, everyone was sitting around here and hearing this kid talk and saying, this is, the whole point of that is to say that this is unheard of. That this guy's coming with all the religious leaders and he knows, he's wiser, he understands. He's the only kid. You think any of the other kids wanted to stick around at the temple? How many of you are going to stick around for the whole day and hang out with me and talk about Jesus stuff? You're going to sit in here for like 8 hours while your family goes and eats? goes in later on when it's football season. We'll practice this. So you're going to stay and hang out. Let's talk about all. Maybe some of you will. That'd be great. But just so you know, that's the context. Jesus was unlike any other child. And of course, she didn't fully understand his statement of, I got to be here. It's my Father's house. But what I want to say is, again, it was a marveling thing. And so it's a theme. I had to read all three texts because it just in one chapter, Luke, the narrator, is trying to say, like, there were so many. The point of Scripture is not to tell you these one-time things. These are just an example of the many things that were happening. Can I say that? We don't know all of what happened. In fact, John ends his book said, if we wrote everything that Jesus did, all the miracles, we don't have enough paper to write everything that was taking place. There's just not enough story. So you're just getting, here's a little, shot, getting a little things. But clearly what the point of the text is saying, Mary had all these amazing moments of hearing about how amazing her son is, seeing her son as he grows in wisdom. And he's just unlike anybody else. He's just totally different. He's not like a normal, him versus all the other kids. They're not the same. There's something radically different. And God was preparing her heart for all that. Now we get into the negative. We look at John. We look at Luke 2, 34 through 35. Now, I'm not going to read all the context, but remember Simeon, I kept out some verses on purpose. Look at what this says. It says, and Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Did you catch that? The same man, Simeon, that we just used as a positive, he came in and said, I can die now. Like, this is the child. The next statement that I left out and I'm coming back to is he told Mary this very same blessing that I'm telling you, this greatness is going to be literally the sole person. That's what's about to happen. He's going to rip your heart out. The same child that I'm speaking of. Does that make sense? So in the midst of the good, he's being told by the same guy that came in, this is the Savior. It then gets told right away, right from the get-go, your soul is going to be crushed and ripped out because of what's going to take place. Does that make sense? I know this is like, man, you're reading all sorts of scripture. I'm going to, at the end, bring it all back home. But what I'm trying to build in you is Mary had to go through this existence of, wow, this is incredible, man. This, what a blessing. This child is amazing. I love Jesus. And then it's coming. Something really tragic is coming. She's told that from the get-go, from the same man that would come in. The greatest, wondering and marveling, says the same thing to her. Says, but one day, it's going to rip your soul out. And listen, here's the point. She has to live with that. She has to continue to live with that throughout the time of Jesus' life and still be his mom and still raise him, still love him, still go through life in the midst of knowing this child, the greatest blessing in the world and to you, is also going to tear your soul apart. Can I say something, parents, mothers? Isn't that raising children in a lot of ways? With the up and downs of life. Maybe not to the degree, maybe not the exact same situation, but that's some of what I'm trying to communicate to you. Jesus, from the get-go, was not just told all these great things. From the get-go, Mary had to endure being told, your soul is going to be crushed by the very same greatest blessing in your entire life. That is being a mother and being a father, being a parent. Kids are the most ripped heart, soul out, yet greatest thing in your life. That is parenting. And listen, Mary was not spared from any of this and was told from the very beginning, all the highs, the lows, all of that. Keeps going. Let's look at some other positives. We see John 7, 3 through 5. This is usually a negative in regards to Jesus. I want to say something a little different. So his brother said to him, leave there, here, and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be openly known. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. Now you tell me the kind of turmoil that would take place in a family when you are told every day to the brothers of Jesus, he's the Messiah. Who do you think the favorite child is? Is there any... Do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Well, you better love Jesus the most, right? Just to worship God, right? He's got to be the greatest. You think all the other kids didn't have absolute jealousy and envy? They didn't believe in Jesus, and they taunted him, and they mocked him. And listen, we're not dumb. Mom and Dad heard it all. And what can you say? Who else has to be born in a situation that your brother is literally God? What can you say? Like, clearly, he desires, he's the one that puts me in heaven or hell. Like, what are you going to say to that? Right? This is God. But a brother and all the brothers had to be raised up in this. So what I'm saying to you is think about the turmoil in Mary's own heart as she loves her children. She has to wean them at the same time of weaning God's son and them mocking and taunting and envying and not believing. I mean, you think that house was just perfect? Oh, it's great. Do you live with kids and brothers and sisters? Did you have brothers and sisters? Now amplify it with Jesus and every other brother, right? There was turmoil. And Mary had, and though all these good things, she had this dynamic in her family life that, you know, listen, the beginning of the dysfunction. We've had dysfunction from the beginning of the Bible. I bet there was dysfunction in this family. Jesus may have not sinned, but these brothers, they don't seem to be too positive here. Let's look at John 19, 25 through 27 real quick. It says this, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus saw the mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own house. So here I'm rushing to the end because we don't have all day. Mary had to witness Jesus die. Mary's there. Guys, many of the disciples abandoned Jesus in that time. Mary never abandoned him. Mary saw Jesus suffer every bit of it. When you see Jesus, this is the thing. When we see what is that movie back in the day? Passion of the Christ. When we see a portrayal of Jesus being slapped, spit on, mocked, beat, whipped, crucified, sometimes we always think of Jesus and his suffering. Many times we don't think of mom was there. The same mom that I just listed all these positives to you. Why do you think Simeon said, listen, your soul's going to be crushed? What mom could endure seeing what Jesus went through? Mary has a different relationship with Jesus than any of us in this room. That was her child that she endured all the life of the suffering with. And she saw him murdered. And she knew, unlike all of us who are sinners that deserve some of our consequences, he deserved none of it. Sometimes we don't think about that when we think of Mary, the greatest heartache, tragedy. Would you call that a life of up and down, roller coaster? So at the very end, we see that take place. We see that, notice that Jesus doesn't even have his brothers. Doesn't even ask his brothers to take care of his mom. He looks at one of his disciples, the one that he was closest to, at least the disciple keeps telling us, I'm the beloved one, right? And he says that in scripture, it's funny. But I think it's amazing. And Jesus, and think about this, the fact that in all that Jesus was enduring, and this is a positive, think about in all that Jesus was going through and enduring, he thinks about his mom. You think that didn't go through her mind? That in the midst of all that he's going through, he looks at her and is thinking about her well-being because Joseph was probably, I think he actually was dead at this time. And she knows, you know, how's my mom going to be taken care of? My brothers clearly seem to not be responsible enough, or I don't trust them enough, or they don't believe yet. They're not ready. And he looks at John and says, you take care of my mom. And by the way, woman is not disrespectful. What he's saying in that term, when he says woman, he is saying, you are my mom, but more importantly, is my God and what I have to do. It's a distancing, respectful way of responding in the culture. We're looking at English. This wouldn't go well if you call your mom woman, right? That's not going to go well in our culture. But what he's saying in the context in which he's saying it, it's a respectful separating myself. Like, you are my mom, but ultimately it's God's will. I have to die. Like, nothing's changing this. That's what's going on here when he says that. But he's thinking about her, and I don't know about you, but what mom couldn't think about the fact that my son is going through what he's going through, and yet he's still worried about my care, right? So negative pause, up, down. And that's what she's left with. And then beyond that, I think it's funny that Jesus picks John because we know that of all the disciples, they would all die, but John's the one that doesn't get martyred. at the very end, he does die and he suffers a lot. He doesn't get kept from suffering, but we know it is John that would be till the end. So it's like God already knew, like, you're the one that's not going to die and be martyred. Like, you can take care of Mary for the period of time until she passes away. And God knows that and chose him. One of the reasons maybe possibly he chose him. But what I'm saying is, you see this up and down later. If we looked at 1 Corinthians 5:7, he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Paul records that the brothers did eventually believe and get saved. So, but I want to go back to positive before I kind of start wrapping things up. She witnessed the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Folks, again, I'm saying this, everyone that got to experience that, that must have been an incredible thing. How much more for Mary in the midst of this, being your son, your heart's been ripped out, your soul's been ripped out, your son comes back alive, everything you banked your entire life on finally took place, right? So she sees that, and I'm not going to read all that. You can read that later, but clearly we see, and all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Of course, we know she is with Jesus in heaven now. Mary's with Jesus now. And final text. I did not say this, and maybe you were like, why didn't you read the very beginning of Luke? Now I'm going to bring it all back. So here we go. This is a positive too. Luke 1, verse 46 through 55. This is in your notes. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will be called will call me blessed. Are we talking about Mary on Mother's Day? Yes. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of the humble estate. And has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of her mercy, as he spoke to our fathers and Abraham and his offspring forever. Mary has this amazing moment when she's told that you're going to be picked, and she has this worshipful moment where she says, God, among all women, you chose me. So once again, we have this roller coaster in her life. She is a virgin, which means in her culture, her people around her, if they don't believe the story, could murder her. Her own husband, Joseph, could have not chosen to believe. Like, there's no way that this, you're pregnant, and I know that I'm not the father. It could have gone really bad. Of course, God had taken care of that because he's doing other miracles in the family, right? And God takes care of that. But what I'm saying to you is, there's so much up and down, up and down. And so if I was to make one big point, man, that's a lot of scripture to cover to say maybe a simple message to you. And my biggest points that I have to conclude with today is, she is one of the greatest examples of enjoying the moments of motherhood despite some of the worst horrific things anybody could ever endure. And I know some of you come in this room and you've got some kids maybe that are making mistakes, and it hurts your soul every day. Some of you come in this room and you maybe have lost a child and you live with the grief of that for so long. Some of you are coming in here and like you've got young kids and you're just enjoying the moments right now. You're enjoying what they're doing and what they're going. And here's what I want to say collectively. Life is up and down. Being a mother, being a parent is up and down. And what can happen, and this is what I'm really trying to say more than anything else. How easy would it have been for Mary to go through life not marveling, not wondering, not enjoying the gift? How easy would it for her to know what's coming because she was clearly being told what was going to happen? I mean, from the get-go, the same guy that says the miraculous thing said, your soul's going to be crushed. How easy would it have been for her just to turn it all in? Well, then fine, I'm just going to go through life and it's going to be miserable, right? How easy would it have been just to not enjoy knowing the tragedy? How many of you, if you knew what was going to happen to some of the tragic things, wouldn't have enjoyed in the moment, right? How could you have? So what kind of advice would some people say? What would Mary say? I think Mary would say, listen, and this is why I left the last text at the end. Ultimately, it was a gift. It was a choice. God chose them. If you are a mother, your children, God chose you. He gave you that gift. And I know, and we all know that whoever your child is, you're never going to stop being a mom or dad and loving your children. It's never going to stop. Whether they're dead, whether they're alive, whether they made mistakes, it's an unconditional love that a mother has for a child that's nothing like anything in this world. Nothing. Now, and I know some of us come with some negative and bad. We've gone through the things. What I'm communicating to you today, no matter what the situation you've walked into, Mary shows us what a biblical example of living in the moment and enjoying despite knowing horrific things that are going to happen. Now, she didn't live that yet, but she lived in the moment and got the most out of the moments, got the most out of the joy, and she pondered all the great things, and she would need to. She would need to ponder all the amazing times because there were going to be some bad times. So as I speak to you today, what kind of things do we get so anxious about? We get so busy that we can't enjoy the moment of your family, being at home, with your spouse, with your kids. So many times we can get so many things can take us away from not enjoying the gifts that life is, that your kids are. And that's what I mean by anxiety. It's not just anxiety, but sometimes we don't even enjoy the blessings that God has given us because we're thinking about yesterday, we're thinking about tragedies, we get into breast funks, we're just not happy, and we get to a place we can't enjoy life. And what I'm saying is Mary is a great example of how could any mother sit there and watch her son be crucified? Yet she's the same one praying for the resurrection with the other disciples. She's the same one saying, God, I'm praying, I know you're coming, I believe in you. This is the same woman. I mean, she believed, and she. So how could you go through that and life not be ruined? Mary, in no place in Scripture do you see her life being ruined. She had faith, she believed, it was a gift. The gift, the chosenness was for the bad and the good, right? The choice, God chose you, and it's for the good and the bad. But folks, in life, we have to endure life in such a way that we're not focused and we don't get overwhelmed. We live in such a way. We live in such a moment that we're like, God, I trust you. I'm gonna celebrate the good. And the bad, I'm gonna trust in you. And we never give up. And that's part of anxiety. Yeah, you can focus on all the problems and you can be destroyed, or you can start living life today, one step at a time, saying, God, thank you for the gift that is breath. Thank you for the gift that is the child. Thank you for the gift that was all these years of these memories that I love and I cherish and I wonder and I hold on to. Amen. Thank you that there is a heaven, that we get to be in heaven. Mary's with Jesus right now in heaven. Amen. So what I wanna say is, yes, parenting, being a mother, could be the worst thing in the world. It could be the best thing in the world because you don't know the ups and downs. None of us in this room. And you can't do nothing. That's the whole point of don't worry about tomorrow. You can't do nothing to change it. But what you can learn to do is enjoy the moment. How many people would say, man, I wish I was more present in my marriage or in my kid's life, but business took over, or this greed took over, lust took over, and I lost it all. Because why? Something took you out of being able to enjoy the blessings in the moment. Something took you away from being able to enjoy, and what happens is that can ruin. And then we had, instead of the wondering of the good things, we're thinking about what could have been. And then we get even more depressed. Folks, the point is, live in the moment today. You can't change. Here's the thing. You can't change the past. None of you in this room can change anything about what you've done, mistakes, whatever. But what you can do is live anew today. Live differently today. Enjoy the moment today. Enjoy the breath that you have today. Enjoy however long gives you, because we never know what's going to happen in our life. In the life of ups and downs, nobody can promise you that something bad won't happen the second you walk out of this church. Live today. Enjoy today. Mary went through ups and downs and still lived life to the fullest. And I wanted to show you that through text. And so that's the first thing I want to say to you. Number two, there's no question that Jesus held Mary in a distinctly special place in her heart. This is the same for mothers throughout our church. I personally learned the importance of mothers' unwavering love. My son recognized that one and a half, Luke, I recognize this. Moms give us confidence in this life because we know that we are unconditionally loved. Moms, thank you. Me and my wife, when we talk about difference between a dad and a mother, there's no question that what a mother can give to a child is an unconditional love. A love that is different. Like my role with my son and Naomi to come is going to be drastically different than a mother. And as I witness Luke with my wife, there's no question, like, he knows that she loves me. And I love him unconditionally, but mothers have a way, it's different. So I say to you, thank you. And I ask you to keep being that way. Keep loving your child. Keep telling them you love them every single day. Every single day, I love you. I'm here for you. I can punish you and say I love you. But thank you for what you do, because I know for me, there's no question that there's some areas in my life that I'm still having to work on because I didn't have such a good situation. So if you are a mom, just know that your children knowing unconditional love and their confidence is very much affected by your love, very much affected by your love right now with your child at all ages. And so I encourage you to do that, because as we see my son, like, there's no question. He's just got a confidence. He's in, because his mom loves him so well. There's no question. And that's something that she does that is going to be different with my role. So thank you on behalf of all of us. And thirdly, finally, Mary and Jesus' relationship teaches us that the glue, most important part of their relationship, was still all throughout it, God. Worshiping God, obeying God, loving God for both. God was always at the center, and Mary shows us that this was a great cherishing joy of hers, even as his obedience leads to Jesus' death and the sword piercing Mary. So God was still the center of every bit of Mary's life. So folks, if I was to give you one final response, though we are thankful for our moms in this room, you have a vital role in your child following God. You have a vital role in your child making that the most important part of your relationship. Don't separate your relationship with your child and pointing them to Jesus at all times. Never give up, even if you've had a wayward child or whatever, never give up pointing them to Jesus. It's never too late for you to point your kids to Jesus. That is the most important relationship with Mary. Clearly, in the very beginning, she says, "Why was I chosen for this?" And as she endures all that she endures, it's out of a faithfulness that she continues to be faithful throughout all the experience that she was having to go through. Because listen, Mary's a sinner. She's not perfect. She could have chosen not to do the things that she did, but she didn't. She was faithful. She accepted it. And so she's faithful because God was at the center. God needs to be the center of your relationship, mothers, center of all your relationships with your children. And whether they're wayward or not, you need to be making that the center of their relationship, even way past their time in being in your house. Okay? So with that said, those are the three things I wanted to communicate. Thank you on Mother's Day. I know that's probably an unconventional Mother's Day sermon. That's where I felt led by the Lord. So come on up. We thank you. We will have some time of praying. If you want to pray in any ways, I'll be here, and we'll have some folks up here with me. You're welcome to do that. And so for you that maybe you're here and you're like, God, I'm not sure about it. I promise you, if you put God at the center of your life and start pursuing him and don't think about the past, start thinking about today, your life will be utterly different and changed, because God is the source, and he can get, think about what he did for Mary. He took her through the ringer, and yet her faith stayed strong the whole time. Something that I don't think any of us could endure, what she had to witness. But yet her faith, she was immediately praying and ascension and trusted God through what the task was. So I encourage you to put God first, and your life will go forward. Let me pray, and we'll go into a time of worship. Father, thank you for all the moms in this room. Thank you for all of us here, Lord. I pray that, God, you would remind us through this sermon. I know that this was focusing on Mary, but there's no question that for all the men in this room too, that Father, we need to cherish the moments and the gifts that you've given us, the life you've given us, for however long we have it. God, help us not to get so busy and bogged down and stressed and anxious that we can't enjoy every day. So Father, as we look at Mary and how she continued to just focus, Father, on the task at hand and not get overwhelmed by what she knew was coming, and still marveled, still wondered, still enjoyed, let us ponder in our hearts, how can we be more present, even with all the circumstances that are going on in our life? How do we be more present? How do we be more worshipful? How do we enjoy, God, the day and the breath and the life that you're giving us, rather than being so anxious and so distant that, Lord, we just aren't happy with the life you're giving us? Let us enjoy life to the fullest and enjoy our kids, enjoy these moments, enjoy the time, God, and reflect on the pondering of the memories and the stories and the things that we remember to continue to stay strong in our faith with new challenges, God. We love you. We thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen.